Because Jesus has died for you. That's very personal, isn't it? Our text is found in the first verse that we read just now, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Therefore, being justified by faith. Now, faith has quite a track record, doesn't it? We read in the book of Hebrews about how faith operates. Now, here's the Bible teaching us that faith is the means through which we are justified by grace through faith. And the word says that being justified by grace, we have peace. So you know the question I'm going to ask you, and it's this. Now, you've been able to observe life. You've been able to experience life yourself. Why is it that having received this in the will, we don't experience peace when we live? Now, you've seen people operate. You've seen yourself operate. And Jesus did say, "My peace I give unto you." Didn't Jesus say so? In this passage, the Apostle Paul says that being justified by grace of God, by faith, we have peace with God. The question we need to ask is, why is it that so many of us don't enjoy that peace? What are the things that upset the peace that God wants us to have? You can search in your life, you can search in the world, you can search among your friends. You have looked at families, and you must have observed something. What is it? Or why is it? What does that exist in this world that robs us of this peace? Who'd like to start? We got a mic. Amen. Look, you see Sister Tress at the back, you just take the mic. Amen. What did you find? What have you observed? Anybody? Amen. Give it to the man right in front of you.
It's injustice.
Injustice, right? Injustice is real in this world, yes. Anybody else? What is it? Brother Beans.
I think among the things that robs us of this peace is fear.
Fear.
Yes.
Yes.
Fear. Amen. If we have the love of God, it can cast out that fear.
Praise God.
As the word says, perfect love casteth out fear. So fear it is.
Amen.
That robs people.
Praise God.
Quick, the cares of this life.
The cares of this life rob us of our peace. Amen. Peace. This is what God has for us. Yes.
I think unforgiveness. Many times you don't even forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And you've not even forgiven those who hurt you and are dead. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to live with real problems, keep harboring unforgiveness in your heart.
That's it. Amen. Praise God.
I think it's distractions that we have in the world. Just like I'd say, the news, the TV, people feed, wrong people feeding things into our spirits that we're listening to, rather than following what God says, meditating on those things that are lovely, those things that are pure, and those things that are kind. We have chosen to forget those things that God has told us to focus on, and we have focused on the things of the world, and ultimately they have brought destruction, and they have stolen our peace.
Praise God. My sister, I hear you. Give it to Sister Gloria.
We like to take things into our own hands, solve our own problems, because if we do not,
we take things in our hands, so we lose our peace. I hear you. Amen. Not believing the word of God that robs us of our peace. Yes, Mr. Debbie.
I think it's part of understanding and not understanding, but because we don't communicate, we don't talk to each other.
Amen. So this is good therapy, right? We're talking to each other right now. Bible, yes, come, give it to Brother Derek. Yes.
I think there are two primary reasons for the lack of peace. First of all, love, as someone said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the second thing is humility.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we tend to look at ourselves as superior to others, mm-hmm, because of accomplishments or, in some cases, you know, class.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a larger problem that leads to ethnic superiority, which results in constant wars and injustice, as somebody says.
Yes.
So until you begin to love each other and also see yourself as the same as the other person, regardless of your accomplishments, regardless of wherever you're going in life, I think we will not have peace.
You told me something at time, Brother Derek. I want you to repeat it, if you would. This assumption that we make, that we have superior knowledge, only God has that. You want to say something?
Well, what it is that in conflicts with each other,
yeah,
we tend to believe that what we believe is superior to the other person, and therefore we don't try to understand the other person's position. There's only one person who has superior knowledge. It is indeed God.
Yes.
And you see it in politics constantly. You know, people, because they believe they're superior to the other, whether it's America against some other country, or Israel against Palestine, or us against Iran, we tend to believe that we're superior to those people, and then we act that way. But if we believe that God is the one that has the superior knowledge, then we'll be more humble, more just, more fair in the way we deal with each other and nations.
Amen. This is amazing, isn't it? I want to hear one of these nurses like Sister Desiree. You walk with these people and you visit their homes, you're right there. Tell me, what you feel is this? What you've seen?
Sorry about that. Actually, I've seen that selfishness robs us of the inner peace that we can have when we believe that everything in the world exists around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me, myself, and I. Nobody else matters. And I've learned over the years, and I've seen within my patients, that those who accept the others, like what Derek says, on the same level as you are, they heal quicker, they are happier, and they overcome the obstacles with much better resistance.
Yes.
And I've learned in all my years of doing this, let's say only about 27, that those who are humble,
mm-hmm,
those who see themselves as part of everything else and everybody else's lives, do way better. So selfishness does rob us of the peace and the healing that we generally need.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, at the back. Amen.
Race, Robert, also for our peace. If we can believe there's only one race, which is human race, that yeah. God has created upon earth, we can have world peace.
That's fantastic, my brother. Praise God. Amen. Race. Yes. Yes.
The word of God tells us that we must be in this world, but not of this world. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus said, my peace, he is the source of it. And when you go to the doctor and the doctor give you a report about having cancer, like Brother Morphy, when they said that Brother Morphy has stage 4 cancer, we had to pray for him. When we finished praying, I turned to him and said, Brother Morphy, we don't have to ask God for healing anymore. What we have to do now is to thank God for healing.
Yes.
And that, I believe, has given him the assurance that he can have peace. Why? Because I've already laid my petition to God. And now my duty now is to thank God for this.
Amen.
My healing is coming through the peace that I have, that Jesus Christ is going to grant this thing unto me. And many times, as the person said before, we are distracted because we are in this world and we are allowing the cares of this life to distract us. And those distractions come to rob us of our peace. And if we want to really have peace, we have to center our hearts and our life on the source of peace, which is Jesus Christ. When we are looking to him, no matter what comes our way, it will not be able to distract us because we have a firm foundation, Jesus Christ, whose peace can settle all the other issues that we have in life.
Glory to God. Peace. This is what...
According to Isaiah 26:3, he said that thou shalt keep them in perfect peace whose mind stay on him. So if we take our mind off of God, we will have no peace.
I hear you, my brother. Amen. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Who's next? Anybody else? Amen. Yes.
I'm reminded of Paul when he was when he had this thing that God had laid on him, and he was tortured, that the more he tried to be good, he was bad, and he was robbed of his peace because he didn't believe that God would forgive him and would still accept him for who he is.
I hear you. Yes. Yes. You know, one of the biggest therapies God has in his word is a word that we have coined in America called one anothering. One anothering. That a lot of the blessings that we can get, we don't get it because we don't know how certain blessings of God are dispensed. They're dispensed through one another. And God would teach us how this one anothering works. Read the Word of God, especially among Paul's writings. And he would tell you about how we must greet one another, how we must pray for one another, and how we can bless one another. Moses taught the people of the Old Testament how they must bless one another, how they must greet one another. And you have a lot of power in your lips when you minister one to another. Peace is something existing communally. Whenever there's a disruption of their peace, watch it. The chances are there's a disruption in their community. And among the people of God, when we have this glorious peace, it's because we are rubbing one another the right way. You go home and cry and fret about whatever it is you want to go home to cry and fret about. You're going to find that you might have a disruption in your relationship with somebody, whoever the person is, and you rob yourself of that peace. But it's in the will. Amen. When I wrote that will, I knew exactly what was there for everybody. I knew who was in and I knew who was out. The will was already signed, sealed, and delivered. And it was waiting for one thing only. What do you think is the one thing that will was waiting on? Huh? The death of my father's cousin. But the will was already written. So when I heard she had died, I didn't have to find out if the will was given out according to how she had said. Everything happened just that way, because she had put a good man in charge of that will. And nobody could get past what's in it. Now, Jesus Christ left the Holy Spirit to be the dispenser. He is the one. Where's the legal word you guys got? Amen. You hear it? He's the executor of that will. And he's going to make sure just what Jesus said will happen. So if Jesus said, you all got peace, we got peace. That's the plan of God. If somebody is there to rob you of your inheritance, and I know the devil wants to rob you of that. He wants to take away everything that's in the will for you. He knows what's in the will. Let me read some scripture, because ultimately our faith must not depend on the way we reason, the way we think, or any cultural practices. Our faith must depend on the word of God. Oh, yeah. The word of God says so, it's so. Let's turn to some scripture. We need to read it. What does the word of God say about peace? It says it's promised to believers as a gift of God. In Psalm 29:11, it would be nice somebody in there could stand up and read it. Psalm number 29 and verse 11, put it up on the board. And if you could put it up fast enough, let all of us read it. What's the promise here that we got before us? The Lord will what? Give strength. Yes. Amen. God teaches us that this peace is an abundant peace. It's not a little thing that's doled out. And found in Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. What does the word of God say? Amen. Yes? Read it, my brother. Read it loud. Go ahead, bro. Great peace. Not a little trickle. He doesn't dole it out. The people of God are people of what? Great peace. Read the word of God. How the word of God says that this peace of God is a perfect peace. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3. My brother quoted this just now. What does it say? In what? Perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Listen to it like a river. Isaiah 48 and verse 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. The word of God is the legacy of Christ. And this I want everybody to read. John chapter 14, verse 27. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 27. together. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, what does the word of God say? Isn't that great? Now, the word of God is replete with passages like these to tell the child of God that this is your heritage. Now, if you've got parents who've struggled all their lives, and what they did, they build up a little something for you, and then when they die, that thing comes down to you, you're going to play lightly with it? I don't think so. But I found, my friends, so many times when the heritage isn't enjoyed by the person who receives it. I told you the story about the guy out in Hempstead. We went to survey his property because he was going to lose it for like, I normally put a value on things like these, and the value I put is 36 cents. I feel like he was going to lose it for 36 cents. Because all he had to do was to pay the taxes. The mortgage was already paid. His parents had already died and left it for him and his family. And it was a beautiful estate. You should see the house. It stood by itself. And when we went to do the survey, you know, he's got what we call nuisance value. But that's all. He could only be a nuisance, nothing else. He loosed out the dogs, so we couldn't survey it. So that would stop the state, the city of Hempstead from seizing it, he thinks, because we couldn't survey it. He doesn't know that they're seizing it by block and lot. The details on that property is just for the insurance company who is getting insurance to the person who can be the new owner. But no, he releases the dogs. So we couldn't survey it. Guess what? He's not making 1 ounce of difference to the real issues. He was going to lose everything in this heritage for taxes. Not much. It's gone. What are you losing your peace about? Don't lose it. That peace is yours. Child of God, you go forth into the world in peace. You let the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My sister, I think you got it right, you know. If the Bible tells you what you must think about, amen, the things must be true, honest, and just, pure, lovely, and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You allow your mind to drift away from these things that the Apostle Paul tells us we must let our minds dwell on. You're going to squander your heritage. But God has a better plan for you. And that better plan is that the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you have this peace? Or do you wake up in the morning with tension and you go to bed at night with tension, you wake up next day with tension, and there's a something, certain something that's rubbing you the wrong way? I think we should pray that God would relieve this tension, because what it's doing, not only is it making you sick, but it's robbing you of your effectiveness as you live. And most of you who have tension know where the tension is coming from. And you can say right away, I know it's who. That crazy husband of mine. Say, Brother Delph, you would never say a thing like this if you met my wife. She's the meanest thing on the face of this earth. But it is your peace that's at stake here. I want to ask you to release somebody. Now, that releasing doesn't change the facts. The facts are just as real. They are just as wrong. Whatever they did is just as wrong, and it's not going to change that. But what it's going to do is to free you of being enslaved to that person. And what you got to do is to learn what forgiveness is. It's a word we use a lot, but we don't know it. We don't know it at all. Forgiveness doesn't change the facts. The facts are just as bad. But what you're doing is that you're setting them free. Amen. And that's what Jesus Christ teaches us about doing. That just as how Jesus sets us free, the Apostle Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't intend to make us innocent before he forgives us. No, he forgives us as sinners. And that's how we got to know Christian forgiveness is. That in their wrongs, you release them. And you say, you're not going to bug me anymore. You could go with what you have done. And if you want to live with it, you live with it. But this, so far as I'm concerned, you're free. And you be that person to them thereafter. Hear me, friend. If you learn that secret, that Christian forgiveness does not change the wrongs and make it right. Sister Carmel, the theology in that song isn't right. You can take what's wrong and make it right. No, what's wrong is wrong. You hear? But we sing things like that, and it has seeped into our theology. But God forgives us while we're yet sinners. And that's how you got to forgive whoever bugs you. So you look at that person right now in your heart and say, you're not going to bug me not more. No more. No more bugging. From here on, you could continue in your sin if you want. But I'm going to be free. And that freedom is a nice thing, isn't it? Glory be to God forever. We're going to pray. You got a song to sing, Sister Yvette? Number 435, the song is what? My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. Amen. Amen. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Heart is leaning on the word, the end and words of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other. argument, I need no other plea. It is enough, Jesus died, that he died for me. The great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save.